Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Conscious Baseball Podcast, where we recap the week of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Jeremiah.
And I am Ben.
Yeah, what's up, man? Hey, before we start the show, you want to talk about Freddie Freeman. He's the first player to hit the cycle this season.
Yes, the Braves infielder, the first person to hit for the cycle. He did it last night against the Reds.
Yeah, apparently no one saw it. That too.
Well, I mean, so. if you look at the highlights there, I was watching him this morning, and it's interesting. I'm looking at the thumbnail where he got a single to end it there. And
yeah, in the fourth inning. And I'm looking at the pitcher in the fourth inning.
You literally look at the picture, and I can count probably on my fingers and toes how many fans I see in the stands.
Well, there's not many fans there. Well, the Braves are just an awful team this year. You know,
especially at home. Have you seen their home record?
No.
Okay, the Braves currently sit in last in the NL East at 19-46. Okay, so they're already 21.5 games back of the Nationals. So the season's over already. Okay?
No, yeah.
But at home, the record is 8-27.
Wow, 8-27
at home.
At home,
you should be winning your games.
Exactly.
At home, they're out. On the road is 11-19. That's obviously not great, but it's respectable, I guess. There's a lot of worse teams on the road, but at home they're 8-27.
Eight and twenty. Wow, and they have a 112 run differential. That is
a negative. Yeah. So
that is awful. Wow, if I'm Freddie Freeman, I don't know if I want to play on that team anymore. But, well, it doesn't help when, you know, when they do have a Dansby Swanson, I think that's his name, a prospect that was drafted last year by the Cardinals. So hopefully he can produce next year or two. But, yeah.
So he's the first Brave hitter to hit for the cycle in almost 8 years.
Yeah, since 2008. I believe Mark Kotze in August. Yeah, pull off the feet. And Matt Kemp.
Great for Freddie Freeman, but, you know, as you mentioned, no one saw it.
No one saw it. That's unless funny, you watched dude. It on TV. But, yeah, apparently no one saw it. And Matt Kemp from the Padres had the most recent cycle last year in August. I'm not sure if you remember that. Apparently, I'm not sure if how many people saw that either, but because the Padres were pretty awful last year as well.
Yeah, they're not doing too great.
Not as awful as the Braves, but yeah. And then Brock Holt of the Red Sox hit one last season as well. But yeah, man, it's not looking too good for the Braves this year. And that's pretty much, I think that's going to be their only highlight this season.
Well, there's still a lot to go, but I mean, of the early part of the season so far, it's definitely been their only thing to look forward to.
Yeah. Just until they probably, you know, promote Dansby Swanson, you know, later this year.
All right, so Jeremiah, what else do we have for everyone listening here in this episode of the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast? What's our lineup?
Well,
like how I did that?
Yeah, I like the line. Yeah, the lineup. Okay, well, you know, we're going to talk about each row, you know, accomplishing his milestone last night, you know, having the most career professional hits in baseball. Professional hits. You know why I said that. And we're going to recap the MLB draft that happened last weekend, but we're going to start things off reacting to the Manny Machado, Yordano Ventura suspensions. They were officially announced last week.
Actually, unfortunately, it was like shortly after we got off the air.
It was shortly after our show.
I was this kind of sucks.
I know, and then like I remember I shared it on Facebook and Twitter, and I had to tell people, well, this was before their suspensions was announced. So, but yeah, you know, if you guys listened to the show last week, you know, I said I predicted 8 to 9 games for both players. I know that's a little harsh on Machado, but I was right with Ventura. Machado only got 4 games.
Yeah, and Ventura got nine games.
Got nine, yeah.
So they're currently appealing the suspension, so they're still playing, but that will get heard eventually sooner rather than later. So.
Oh, yeah.
Like we mentioned, it was about what we thought there. Ventura was the instigator of the altercation, which we said, so he did get 9 games, almost more than double of what Machado got. So, I mean, I don't think that's really, you know, it's not really harsh. You're looking at 162 games, they're going to miss 9 and 4 respectively. That's not really much.
Yeah.
Did you see what Renato Odor had said recently?
Why don't you tell me, Ben?
So, yeah, he said that those 7 days were the longest days of his life when he wasn't playing. When he got suspended for what he did against Jose Bautista, the first brawl, the 7 longest days of his life.
He was on the field. Yeah, he was on the field.
Come on, dude. Maybe you should have thought of that before you decided to just belt Jose Bautista right in the mouth.
Exactly. Like, come on, that didn't go through your thought process. If baseball is such a passion for you, wouldn't you thought twice about your actions, Odor? Come on.
Yeah, like it was not like, oh my God, like I'm just missing out on everything here. It's just a few games, but like, come on.
But yeah, it's not as a Machado's suspension is. It's only 4 games, and it won't be as 7. But I'm telling you right now, when you're a baseball player, 4 games is a lot too.
It's basically a series,
a series in a game. And that's huge for the Orioles lineup, who are neck and neck in the AL East right now.
Yeah, there is a lot worse. Yeah. I mean, so they're trying to appeal the suspensions. What do you expect? Do you think they're going to get shortened here?
I think it's highly unlikely it's going to get shortened. You know, because like we discussed earlier, baseball doesn't want this. You know, they don't want all these, you know, altercations on the field.
Although it is good for the game, as I mentioned. Oh, Jeremiah.
It's not good for the game. Man.
I think it is.
If I'm a baseball fan, I'm not there to see a fight. I'm there to see a game.
Right, but baseball is probably one of the least popular of the major sports, it's getting national news. This is getting national news.
Why you gotta be devil's advocate on this?
I'm not. I'm just stating my opinion. I think it is good for the game.
I don't think it's good for the game right now. Like any old school baseball fan would tell you this is terrible for the game, and I think any regular baseball fan, honestly.
Yeah, you mentioned the old school baseball fan. That's kind of the conundrum here. You have both sides. You have the old school guys, and you have these new guys like Bryce Harper, who are really leading that revolution of the.
He's
new
fun to
school.
Watch, though. He is really fun
so you,
to watch.
So you have that back and forth between the two sides there. So as far as a reduction in the suspensions, I don't really see much.
I mean, maybe either.
A game or two.
No.
But
Ventura, maybe 8. I see him maybe reducing it to 1 game. But
one start. Because he only missed one start.
It's already 1 start already.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure why he's really – obviously, in any sport, really, they always do this sort of – appeal process here. I mean, look at Brady. How many appeals has he done? So
he's like on his 100th one, I believe.
Yeah,
for New England Patriots.
Yeah, so but I mean, there's these appeals everywhere. Yeah. So of course they're going to do it. I don't really necessarily agree with it. I mean, baseball handed this down. Just deal with it and your suspension and move on.
It's not like you have like a 16 game season like in football, like you just said. With
yeah, like
Brady.
4 games. That's a quarter of the season.
That's a lot.
You're missing four games out of 162. You're not even missing 5% of the game.
Not only that, the Orioles lineup is pretty much deep enough right now to survive without Machado. So
yeah, the Orioles are currently in a little AL standing race here.
Yeah,
they're tied for like first with the Red Sox here.
Boston Red Sox.
So they're both at 37-27.
Have been phenomenal this year.
Yeah, the Red Sox are having a historically
historic offensive
season.
With those good young hitters out there, you know, when Xander Bogaerts or Bogaerts, however you like to say.
Yeah, Bogaerts. Jackie Bradley had a hit streak of 29 earlier in the season.
Mookie Betts, you know, he's emerging as their top outfielders in the game, actually.
And then David Ortiz is sort of riding off into the sunset here. He's having a great season. And
He's having a good season and his final one. So,
yes, yeah. So with all that being said, I don't see much of a reduction here. I mean, just like Bryce Harper, I compare it to. He had a 1-game suspension for after that walk-off home run.
Yeah.
He sort of cursed out the umpire there. He had a 1-game suspension. He decided to appeal it. And then he was like, you know what? I'm just going to take it, and that was it.
One game, dude. Just take it.
You know what he did on his 1-game suspension? Did you see this? He was, with Jimmy Fallon, just on talk show with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yeah.
They were playing,
a
word association game.
Yeah. That was fun. But I actually want to point out something. There's a video that surfaced online about Machado and Ventura, the brawl. It got re-imaged in a WWE 2K16 video.
I did see this.
Did
I saw this.
Yes.
How he's like walking down to the ring there through the ramp. Yeah, I'm a huge WWE guy as well.
Yeah, it sparked my interest. I am kind of too.
I thought that was funny.
It was funny. Yeah, it was funny. I liked it. It was pretty fun.
The way they can sort of do these mods now and recreate people is really fascinating.
Yeah.
It was literally Manny Machado, Orioles hat, jersey number 13. It was
full uniform and all that.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah.
All right, so we are going to take our first commercial break here at the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Ichiro Suzuki. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Compass Baseball Podcast, and other news that broke yesterday. Well, I don't want to say breaking.
But well, it kind of did. It happened last night.
Yeah, it happened yesterday. Yeah, Ichiro.
The legendary Japanese outfielder.
Yeah, had a career milestone yesterday for most professional hits.
Yeah, so he got it last night. He broke Pete Rose, who currently holds the MLB record with 4,256. So Ichiro, between the combination of the MLB and in Japan, he's now at 4,257.
Yes. That is, honestly, though, that is incredible, like, to get that amount of hits in a professional career.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So Ichiro's first 1,278 hits came in Japan, and he's, you know, approaching the 3,000 hit mark here in the MLB.
Wait, he could probably do that this season. So
yeah, he's definitely on the cusp. You know, he's a lot older now. He's got to do it soon. So yeah. Regardless, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and he's not even I don't think he plays every day for the Marlins right now.
Yeah, he's 42 years old. Yeah. He's like a literally a. You know, a grandfather in the sport of baseball. He's
wow.
old.
Okay. That was,
I mean,
that
he's
was
not a... like Julio Franco, who was playing for
no.
I mean, he's still playing. He's like Jamie Moyer, you know.
Yeah, he was a dead. Those are Iron Man over there. But, yeah, man. But some people are saying that maybe those hits shouldn't count when you're talking about this accomplishment. What do you think about that?
How does it not count? I can literally
exactly.
look at it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, to me, a single is a single. It don't matter, you know.
Yeah, Ichiro, he wasn't known for his power. He was in a lot of singles
exactly.
and doubles. So,
yeah.
I don't understand how you could say that Pete Rose is still the hit king because he hit all his hits in baseball. Obviously, with Japan, I realize the Japanese league is not as competitive
yeah,
as MLB.
It's
but,
like a second tier league.
Yeah, but there's been a ton of Japanese players coming in to the major, especially
yeah.
recently. I'd say he was sort of the start of the Japanese.
Definitely the start of the trend. You know, you got. Even a lot of pitchers come from Japan now.
Yeah, definitely. You know? So it's not that – I wouldn't say that necessarily doesn't count, but you can still see how Pete Rose is the king of MLB.
Exactly.
But Ichiro is literally the king of hits now. He's
exactly.
got the most hits in baseball history.
Yeah, and people are saying, you know, oh, well, you know, those hits shouldn't count. You know, Pete Rose is the all-time hits guy. And but I'm like, come on, man. Like, you can't disregard what he did in Japan.
Yeah, I don't agree with that
yeah,
either.
Yeah, exactly. I don't agree with this. And I'm like, and don't get me wrong, Pete Rose, to me, he is probably one of the best, greatest players to ever play the game, you know.
Definitely.
And I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
When you're looking at just him on the field,
yeah.
Take out all the outside, the betting scandals, all that stuff. Just as far as a hitter, Pete Rose is.
Yeah, without all the off-the-field stuff, yeah, he's probably the best hitter in the game to me. But, you know, Ichiro... He's had a quiet career himself, especially when he was with the Mariners.
Yeah, he started out there. You know, I remember one season, Ichiro, in 161 games, he had 262 hits.
Yeah, and that is incredible, you know?
Yeah, as we mentioned, Ichiro, he's going to go down as one of the greatest. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer in anyone's.
Oh, yeah. And
hits, he was a great fielder. He had a cannon of an arm.
Oh, yeah.
Good on the base pads, too. He stole a lot of bases. You know, Ichiro, he's a legend.
Yeah, he's a legend. And actually, there's a stat I saw on Twitter. He has to go 0 for 444 to have his career mark go below 300.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
No.
No, from Dumb and Dumber, you know.
Oh,
you
know, I know. Cool. I know.
That's where it's
so
from. Of course he's not going to go, for his next 400.
No,
I
just think it's incredible that he has to have so many at-bats to go below 300.
Yeah, I mean, he may not even have 400 at-bats in the rest of his career.
No.
And you got to think this is probably his last season.
No, this is it for him.
Yeah, so he's not going to do that again. But, you know, Ichiro, just a legendary career. So do you think he's probably like the greatest hitter you've ever seen?
The greatest hit, well, that I've seen
yes.
in my time, I think he's the greatest hitter if I've seen. Because I wasn't alive when Pete Rose, you know, was playing.
Right.
And I remember my dad, you know, he said, you know, he admired the way Pete Rose played the game. So I understand if Pete Rose was the best player he's seen. And, you know, he also said, you know, Ricky Henderson was also one of the best players.
Yeah, he was
players.
Great, too.
Yeah, and see, that was his time. See, my time, I consider Ichiro as probably top five hitter in my time, my era, you know?
Okay, so what do you think he rates on, like, an all-time?
Oh, all-time.
Yeah, what do you think he rates on, like, an all-time list?
All-time list for hitters or, like, all-around players?
All-around player. You can sort of go both ways here. So
all-around players, that's a little tough because there's so many other players in the history of this game. You got to go back all the way since, you know, Babe Ruth and all that. But as of hitters, I'm going to say he's top five because when he was in the lineup and leadoff bat, you know, he was a difference maker top the lineup when he was in the Mariners. And the impact that he's had, you know, that takes into account too. The impact he's had every time he's in the lineup, it was huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ichiro, he is playing in a limited amount of games right now. So he is currently has a .349 average. You know, he's only got 126 at-bats. So he's got 44 hits, 126 at-bats. He's got 9 RBIs, 6 stolen bases. So even at 42, he's still stealing bases.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so Ichiro's career stats now. So he's got 2,979 hits. So you got to think he's 21 hits away.
He's 21 hits away.
He's going to get to 3,000 this year unless he, you know, injures himself or the Marlins decide, okay, we're not going to play you, period, which I don't see them disrespecting the legend. And they want to see him get 3,000.
Yeah. So, and I think the fans want to see him get 3,000, too. Not only that, I think just baseball fans in general want to see Ichiro get 3,000.
Absolutely. So he's got 113 career home runs. We mentioned he wasn't a power hitter.
No.
You know, almost 3,000 hits and 113 home runs. So not much of an RBI guy as well. He played a lot of leadoffs. So he's got 747 career RBIs, but 500 stolen bases. Jeremiah, you mentioned a .314 average. His on-base percentage was .357. So he's just a great hitter.
Yeah, great hitter all around. And if he does decide, if he does get 21 or more hits, he'll become the 30th player to reach the 3,000 mark.
Absolutely.
So, it's not many people that have done it. If when you think about the history of baseball, you know, the long history.
So Ichiro for his first 10 seasons had at least 200 hits in every season.
Yeah, that is incredible.
Yeah, and then he ended up dropping off here in 2011 where he had 184 hits. So he's only almost there.
Yeah, when
already.
He was with the when his career with the Yankees, it wasn't as, you know, he kind of dropped off a little bit.
Yeah, he hit over 300 for his first 10 seasons as well. Just a great hitter. I mean, and fun fact for you, Ichiro debuted April 2nd, 2001, which is my birthday.
Oh.
So I, mean, I wasn't born in 2001.
I was like 2001. I was like, oh,
no,
okay.
The April 2nd part.
April 2nd, okay.
Yeah, so Ichiro, he's a legendary hitter.
How old were you when that happened?
2001?
Yeah.
I was 8.
You were 8? Oh.
Literally turning 8 when Ichiro debuted.
I was 9 years old.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So almost there, you know, we're pretty similar. Yeah. So Ichiro here, you got to think it's probably winding down here. He's a legend of the game. Do you think it's somebody's last season, or do you think
I think it is, but we don't know.
Do you think he was playing to sort of get to this milestone, and then he's going to get in, sort of call it a day?
If he happens to get 21 more hits, you know, before the season ended, I actually wouldn't be surprised if he decided to walk away from the game because the Marlins are not really. They're not in contention.
Do you think he hits his 3,000 hit and then just calls it a day right there, ends on 3,000?
No. I know. I can see him get more, you know.
Maybe he just calls it a day at, like, the All-Star break or something.
Yeah, you know. I can definitely see him becoming an All-Star this year, too, just because.
Kind of like a Kobe Bryant, like a send-off.
Yeah, send-off.
Derek Jeter had one. Do you think they really do that? I don't know about that. I would disagree, but.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I didn't say it was going to happen.
Yeah, there is a possibility, you know, with baseball, you need to have a member of each team represented in the All-Star game.
Yeah,
so not that the Marlins don't have people like Jose Fernandez, you could say is going to be
All-Star.
No,
Carl Stanton, even though he's having kind of a inconsistent year.
So they definitely, that could be a possibility. I don't see it happening, but, you know, my hat goes off to Ichiro Suzuki, great player. I don't think he's getting the best rep here with this whole, Japan hits shouldn't count, and they definitely count. He's got the most hits now in MLB. Not MLB, but baseball history. Pete Rose is still the king of MLB. So my hats off go to Ichiro. He's a legendary player, and congratulations.
Yeah, congrats, Ichiro.
All right, so we're going to take another commercial break here. It's going to be our last one of this show, Jeremiah. And then we're going to jump into our third segment here. We're going to recap the MLB draft, as you mentioned, which got done over the weekend here. So we'll be right back at the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
And welcome back here to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. A little breaking news here before we get into the MLB draft recap. David Wright, the third baseman from the New York Mets, is undergoing a surgery today, which is neck surgery. So he has been on the disabled list for a little bit now, but he's 33 years old. He's going on the disabled list again. He's going to have a neck surgery here. The timetable for the operation is not certain yet, but it looks like it's going to be season ending, Jeremiah.
Yeah, don't forget, he also had the spinal injury, not spinal, stenosis, I'm not sure if I'm
Yeah, the right. back, the back
yeah,
the stenosis.
Yeah, he had that back injury last summer, so that held him out for majority of the year. But, yeah, man, I think his time as a full-time player, I think it's coming soon to an end.
Yeah, he's 33 years old, yeah. So he is getting up there in age as well, so, and he's had the injury issues for the Mets. He's a great player, you know, he's a seven-time All-Star, he's the captain of the team, he's hitting .296 for his career, he leads the team in hits, doubles, walks, runs, and RBIs, which you think about some of the great Mets like Mike Piazza, so that's really really a lot notoriety for David right here. So it's unfortunate he's going to be, looks like, out for the season with the neck injury.
Well, a herniated disc surgery typically carries a minimum of 3-month recovery. So he's going to be out majority of the year, and that's huge for that lineup. That's even though he's not the best hitter in that lineup, but like his presence and leadership is like a loss to that team, because he's been a Met his entire career. He knows how to play in that city.
Definitely. He knows what it's like to be a member of the New York sports handle the New York media.
Yeah,
so.
You know, the toughest market in the country. So.
Yeah, and they definitely could use him as they try to battle with the Nationals here. They're currently in second place in the NL East behind the Nationals. So it's unfortunate news for David Wright.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
All right, Jeremiah, so as we move on from David Wright, we're going to be talking about here the MLB draft, which just got concluded over the weekend here. Going to be looking at some of the top 10, a little in-depth on each of those guys, and then some of the notables that were drafted later in the rounds.
Yeah, so you want to start this thing off with the first
pick? Yeah, so the first pick is drafted from the Phillies. It's outfielder Mickey Moniak.
Yeah, from La Costa Canyon High School. He was originally committed, you know, to UCLA, but there's actually a picture I saw online. In his high school graduation, on his graduation cap, he had the Phillies logo and the American flag.
It's almost like he knew?
No, I mean, because his graduation was after the draft.
Oh, after the – okay, yeah, yeah. So basically showing respect to the team that just drafted
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he had the team logo and the American flag in the background. Doesn't get any more American than that. So apparently – He looks ready to go. He looks like he's ready to be a Philly. So it looks like he's not going to go to UCLA after all.
And yeah, you just got drafted first overall in the majors. I mean,
it's kind of hard to pass it up. I get it. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what do you think about him, sort of the chances he has to succeed right away? Obviously, he's going to probably go into the minors. Very few of these guys go straight. I mean, the only one I can remember that went straight in was Alex Rodriguez, and that was a long time ago, but... So he's going to probably spend a couple of years in the minors. Like, what else do you know about him, if anything?
Well, what I know about him so far, you know, he emerged as one of the best high school bats in the nation. And he has a good approach to the plate. Pretty good outfielder. There's, of course, there's room to grow, you know.
Absolutely. You know, he's still young. He's out of high school, he's only 18.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
You know, he has above average speed, you know, that works on both sides of the ball. And he has a potential to be Gold Glove winner at center field. And his baseball instincts are good for his age right now. And he's shown the ability, you know, to slow the game down, you know, as competition improves. And that's going to be big, you know, as when you know, he goes up in the minors.
Okay.
And, but I don't know how long it's going to take him to get to the major league level. You know,
it's always different for everyone.
Yeah,
so.
You know, so I can't tell you that, but I can just tell you about the type of player he was. So, yeah.
Okay, so coming in second here, drafted by the Reds, is third baseman Nick Senzel. He's out of Tennessee.
Yeah, he was actually the considered the best bat in college.
Okay.
He had a .352 average as a junior and led the SEC with 25 doubles. So, and he was a 2005 Cape Cod League MVP with a league best .364 average. So, yeah.
He's a good hitter.
Yeah, so pretty good hitter for a team that that has, you know, that plays in a good ballpark. So, you know.
And he has currently signed his contract.
Yeah, he's signed. Yeah.
First of the top 10 to sign. One other guy signed, which we'll mention a little later. So coming in now at third is the pitcher for the Braves, Ian Anderson. He's from high school in New York.
Yeah, New upstate New York. I don't know how to say his high school name. Can you pronounce that?
Oh, it's a barn burner. It's a doozy. So Shenandoah.
I think it's Shenandoah.
I'm sure I'm butchering that, but
Shenandoah.
Interesting.
Shenandoah. Yeah.
So what do you know about Anderson, Jeremiah?
Yeah, he throws a fastball around 91-95 range. You know, a good downhill angle, which you know has room to improve. But that's pretty good for a high school pitcher. And, you know, he's actually a commitment. He actually committed to Vanderbilt, who's also, you
they're
know,
a great college baseball program.
Yeah,
so.
Probably one of the best in the nation. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I can say about his pitches, yeah.
I find it interesting that these high school players commit to a college. They got to know that they're going to be drafted high, and then they obviously have the chance.
You always got to have a backup plan, though, you know.
I guess so. But, I mean, like, that'd be like LeBron James saying, I'm going to go to Duke, or I'm going to go to Ohio State, and then he gets draft number one. I'm going to the NBA.
Yeah,
sorry, college.
Well, NBA is a little different than Major League Baseball. No, when you're drafted in the NBA, you're in the NBA.
You do have the option here.
Yeah,
so.
But you know, MLB, you got to, you know, go through the minor league system and all that, because you're not just into the Major League Baseball. You're not going to be on the field, right? But, yeah, I get why. Because, you know, you can't. It's hard to pass up that kind of money when you're a high school kid.
Absolutely.
17, 18. Like, if I had the chance to play baseball for a major league team and at a high school, I wouldn't hesitate, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on.
So moving on is number four here. He is the second of the top 10 to currently sign his contract. It's another pitcher, so back-to-back pitchers. Drafted by the Colorado Rockies is Riley Pint.
Yeah, Riley Pint of a Kansas pitcher.
Yeah, St. Thomas Aquinas High School from Kansas.
Yeah, like you mentioned, he signed his bonus. Electric arm, you know. He added 50 pounds of muscle during the offseason.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And fastball velocity goes to, like, 93-97 range. He went as high as 102 this spring. So 102.
Power pitcher.
Yeah, power pitcher. And for a team that needs pitching, you know, that when you know the Rockies historically pitchers struggle there. And, you know, they have some pretty good young pitchers right now, you know, in Tyler Chatwood and John Gray, who could potentially be front end stars for the future. But yeah, man, this guy has powerful stuff, and he has a huge ceiling, huge risk, because, you know, he lacks the consistency with his command and mechanics sometimes with the strike zone. But, you know, he has time to improve on that. You know,
yeah, he's going to have time to develop here. So.
Yeah, so
rounding out the top five here, we have another outfielder. It's our second outfielder on the list. He's drafted from the Brewers out of Louisville. It's Corey Ray.
Yeah, Corey Ray. He was regarded as the best prospect in the draft, actually, at the University of Louisville. Offers the best combination of hitting, athletic ability. So he has speed. He can make contact.
One of those, like, five-tool players.
Yeah,
almost.
You know, he's, like I said, this is why he was the best prospect, you know, coming into the draft. He's the highest pick in Louisville history. He had 39 steals. He led fourth in the nation, and he had 15 home runs heading into the Division I playoffs this year. He uses the entire field when he's hitting. And he could play all three outfield positions, which is very big.
Yeah, very versatile.
Yeah, you need that because, you know, injuries happen a lot in this game. Yeah.
All right, so moving on to number six is drafted by the Oakland Athletics. He's from the College of Florida. So it's A.J. Puck.
Yeah, A.J. Puck. the things I read, he has two pitches that are really good. 96-99 miles per hour fastball, 89-90 slider. His control command is questionable, but it's like I said, he has time to develop. But I do something I want to point out. His durability is not questionable. It's pretty good. He's only missed one start with back spasms.
Okay. Yeah, the pitcher probably the position that gets injured the most. Exactly. So that's really good. Important. It's really important. Yeah. At number seven here, he's drafted from the Miami Marlins. He's another high school guy from Alabama here. It's Braxton Garrett. He's a pitcher as well.
Yeah, from, I believe, in high school, I believe, also.
Yeah, Florence, yeah. From Florence, Alabama.
Florence, Alabama. Yeah, he has the high ceiling of he's Alabama's best pitching prospect since Casey Kiker from a couple years ago. And ceiling of a number two starter, high floor. He was regarded as the best curveball in the draft, 76-80 miles per hour, and yeah, that's all I can say about him.
All right, so moving on here at number eight, we're having a run on the pitchers here. We have another pitcher, and then number nine as well. But number eight is drafted by the Padres. He's from Stanford. It's Cal Quantrill.
Yeah, he's son of former big leaguer Paul Quantrill. You know, he had a career that spanned 13 years.
So he's got that pedigree there. His genes. He's meant to be a baseball player.
Exactly. And something about this kid that, that he raised some questions, coming into the draft. He had Tommy John surgery sophomore year. So, Tommy John in college is very, you're going to have some questions about that.
It's basically a year-long injury now.
A lot of people don't always come back from it. It's basically a year long to two, net the way it is now. You got pitchers coming back that haven't pitched in a couple years. But anyway, moving on. When he's healthy, he's good with a four picks mix. He has four pitches, very good. Fastball that goes to the low to mid 90s. Curveball, slider, and changeup.
So, that's really important when you can mix those pitches up, especially with the off-speed stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I feel like nowadays the trend here with pitching is to throw power, throw the heat. Really power pitchers throw the heat. I look at people like Aroldis Chapman. So when you can mix things up like that and you have a balance of pitches, it really benefits you.
Yeah.
So number nine, this is actually an interesting prospect. I know a lot about him. So this is for the Tigers, another pitcher. So his name is Matt Manning. He's drafted from Sheldon High School in California, which is actually here in Sacramento where we're doing the show.
Yeah, exactly. Local prospect.
I know a lot about Manning.
Yeah, I'll let you get to that after my analyst.
All right, go ahead.
He's the son of former NBA player Rich Manning. He played basketball, as you told me before the show. 6'6 frame, big frame for a pitcher, athletic, that size for that age, and his fastball is just unbelievable this year, 96-97. His start of the season was actually delayed because of his he played basketball. He's a two-sport athlete.
Yes.
Yeah, and he played basketball in Sheldon, and they made a deep postseason run, but it didn't hurt his baseball stock at all, so that's even more amazing to me.
Yeah, we were mentioning the basketball talk there. So I also do sports writing for the Elk Grove Citizen, which is basically a suburb of Sacramento. It's just a little south. So I do the sports writing there as well. And we mentioned Sheldon High School. He's also a basketball player. Sheldon High School is one of the best high school boys basketball teams here in the area. They're always really ranked high. They've had people like DeMarcus Nelson, Darius Nelson. DeMarcus Nelson went on and played for Duke. So he was a McDonald's All-American. This was a few years ago, but they have basically a pedigree here in basketball here. So he's part of the team. As you mentioned, he's 6'6". I've talked to the kid probably four or five times. He's really humbling, really smart. You mentioned he's the son of a basketball player. He was originally committed to go to Loyola Marymount on a basketball scholarship, but I mean, drafted nine overall in the MLB draft, I think he's probably going to pass on that. So
yeah, and he's really good at, and for good reason, he's really good at baseball.
When you're that good at two sports, I mean, he could have gone to college for basically free. He's on a scholarship, but he's gonna opt to go to baseball, which is his better sport, obviously. So congrats to Matt.
You make more money.
Definitely. So he's a great kid. I've talked to him a couple times. He's a really humbling kid. So rounding out the top 10, we are actually have our first catcher. He's drafted from the White Sox, from the U, from Miami. Yeah. It's Zach Collins.
Yeah, and Before Collins went to Miami, he was actually a top 100 prospect coming out of high school in 2013. So, and he actually committed. He didn't want to. He said he was committed to Miami before that draft. So he slid all the way to the 27th round because of, you know, his commitment to Miami. But this guy has 20 homer potential on offense, and he has a advanced approach at the plate. But when it comes behind the plate, you know, he's a regard to have an average arm, which is something he can work on.
So they're looking at more of a offensive catcher.
If offensive catcher, okay. Yes. Yeah. So it makes sense for that reason. So, yeah.
So, yeah, out of our top 10 here, we have a breakdown. Sort of we have six pitchers, we have two outfielders, we have a third baseman and a catcher. So pitching really dominating. It seems like teams are sort of focused on pitching, and they realize that pitching is really important when you come down to postseason runs and stuff like that.
Yeah, and some notable names now.
Yeah, so we have the top 10 concluded, so we have some notables on the list here. Jeremiah, what do you got?
Yeah, I actually have Dylan Carson, another local guy from Elk Grove High School. He got drafted, I believe, 29th to the St. Louis Cardinals?
33. Yeah, so yeah. 33 to the Cardinals. He's an outfielder. He's out of Elk Grove High School, which they have like a history of great baseball players coming out of Elk Grove. They've had a player drafted multiple times now recently. So
did you interview him ever?
I don't know anything about him. Yeah. No, I haven't really done any of the baseball stuff. It's really a time consuming thing because a lot of games are during the day.
Yeah.
With basketball, it was a lot easier because a lot of games are at night.
Yeah.
So I talked about Manning a lot, who was drafted 9th overall. But I don't really know much about Dylan Carson.
Yeah. Okay. And but that's pretty amazing. Two local guys from the area we do our show. But
yeah, in the first round too.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And moving on. Trey Griffey, the son of Ken Griffey Jr., got selected 24th round to where his dad made his name. Seattle Mariners.
Do you think they did it as sort of a...
Yeah, they did.
Like, here you go.
They paid to pay homage. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Well, it's because, like, Trey Griffey, he's a receiver at University of Arizona right now.
So another two-sport athlete.
Yeah,
it's kind of been the trend here.
He hasn't actually played baseball competitively since, like, high school. But, yeah, you know, it's just a pay homage to, you know, probably the best player they had at that team. You know,
yeah,
I know
definitely.
I know we talked about Ichiro earlier, but I think Craig Griffey was probably the franchise guy. So
yeah, he was no another five-tool guy,
yeah.
Really good on the base pads, good with hitting in the average and hitting the home runs, so...
So, yeah, you know, he got drafted. Another player, another son of a former MLB player, Torii Hunter Jr., son of...
Of the aforementioned Tony Hunter.
Tony Hunter, yeah. He went to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in the 23rd round.
Another team that he...
He played with, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, Torii Hunter used to play with the Angels.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Yeah. And his dad actually...
Good little storylines there.
Yeah, his dad actually announced the pick during the draft conference call. And another thing about this Torii Hunter Jr., he's actually also another two-sport athlete.
Okay.
Just like Griffey's son. At Notre Dame, he's an outfielder. He hit 182, which is 2-for-11, with one RBI, two stolen bases in 19 games. But he's also made a bigger impact on the football field for the Irish. So it's kind of like the same with Griffey a little bit in a way. Yeah, I think.
Okay.
And my other notable name is Jacob Hayward, brother of Chicago Cubs outfielder Jason Hayward, going to the San Francisco Giants in the 18th round of the U.
Yeah, so Hayward's had a nice little career. He started with the Braves here, and then he played a little bit with the Cardinals. So
yeah, and he's with the Cubs now.
He's had a good career so far. So we'll see if his brother can be on the same road to success as Jason Hayward.
Yeah, especially for a San Francisco Giants, you know, a team that kind of needs outfielders.
They do really good with developing young players.
They
a lot of their
really good.
A lot of their infield is really young.
They do
so.
Really good. Yeah. Really
All
good.
Right, Jeremiah. So you got anything else on the list? Any more notables you want to talk about?
I do not. I am done. But
you can
tell the good people what we're talking about on the next show.
All right, so this is going to conclude this episode of the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, but don't you worry, because we are going to be back right with another show. So I'm talking a little bit about Jose Reyes. He's been designated for assignment with the Rockies. talk a little bit about the NL pitching. The starting pitching has been really, really strong. More pitching news is Tim Lincecum for the Angels is getting ready to get started again. And then another pitcher trying to make his name out in the home run derby is Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals. Yeah, he's been really vocal lately.
Keeps on growing. The home run derby list keeps on growing.
All right, so we are going to be right back with that episode just after we conclude here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast. This is going to be it for this episode, Jeremiah.
Yes. Catch you on the flippity flip. I'm kidding.
Yeah, so you can.
That's for all the football podcast fans.
So you can always listen to us on gsmcpodcast.com. It's where we have all the. So where our network is. We have a ton of great podcasts on there. A lot of sports ones, but not just sports related. There's things like health and wellness with the commercial you already heard. Things like social media news, movies, TV, weird news, sci-fi. There's a ton on there. Make sure you go and check them out. There's got to be something you like on there, even if it's not sports related. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher,
YouTube.
SoundCloud.
We're on YouTube now.
We're on YouTube as well. Exactly. So any sort of playback video, audio thing you like, mobile
SoundCloud,
device, SoundCloud.
You know, for you music lovers out there.
You can also follow us on Twitter. We're at GSMC_baseball. And
we on Instagram.
Yes, we're also on Instagram as well.
Follow us on Instagram. We haven't been promoting that page enough.
So basically, any sort of social media you like, except for Snapchat.
Yeah, I was going to say, except for Snapchat. We could make one.
We could make a Snapchat, but you know, we'll have to see.
I don't know what we would do.
Could just tease people on our shows. So there is all those great ways you can listen to us. So make sure you do that. As always, I am Ben here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast.
And I'm Jeremiah.
And this is going to be it for this episode. Thank you for listening, guys, and have a good day.